Good morning. Hey, you know, I don't think any of us would say that going through this pandemic has been a good thing, but I gotta tell you, if you're gonna be locked down somewhere, this is not a bad state to be in for a lot of reasons. But one of those reasons is the abundance of beautiful places like this that you can tape your sermons. You know, we're out here just past Sally Rock Point. That's the point right behind me here out at Goddard Park. And it is just beautiful out here. You know, can we just take a moment and thank God for the beauty that He surrounds us with to enjoy? And He does it not because we've done something to deserve it. He does it just because He wants us to know that He loves us. If you get the chance, I'd encourage you, come on out here. You go out to Goddard Park, you take the beach as far east as you can go, and you'll find yourself right here. And again, just beautiful. Have you ever taken a shortcut that ended up it wasn't such a shortcut? You know, the first explorers that came into this area, they were looking for a shortcut. They were looking for a quicker route to the Far East so they could use it as a trade route. But instead, they ran into a continent. And it ended up that was a much larger and longer route to get through than the one that they had been taking previously. Or maybe you find yourself in a city that you don't know that well. This used to happen a lot before there was GPS, if any of you remember back that far. But you'd look over and you'd say, hey, this street looks like it's leading right where I'm going. So you'd take a turn and all of a sudden it would take this winding dive off somewhere else. Or else you'd find that it was a one-way going the opposite direction than you needed to go. I found that happens a lot in Boston, even with GPS. But in that, you have this place and you find that suddenly the shortcut you thought you had, it's not a shortcut at all. You know, over here, back behind the camera, there's this point. It's a rocky point that at low tide, it's actually, you can walk around it on the beach, and this becomes, from this place here at Goddard Park, it's a very short, you go around that point, suddenly you're in my neighborhood, and I can get home right away. But when high tide's in, you can't get around it. You can't get around it, and that means that this point in Goddard Park is one of the furthest points from my home ever. Shortcuts. You know, we've been in a series where we've been talking about treasure. We've been talking about the kingdom of heaven. And in Matthew 13:44, it says that the kingdom of heaven, it is a treasure. It's a treasure that's buried in the field. It's valuable. It's worth giving up everything. Everything we have, anything, in order to get it. And we've been seeing what is that kingdom of heaven. And what we found is the kingdom of heaven, it's the blessing of God that comes when we live the way that God intended. It's when we discover the purpose that God has woven into our lives, what He made us for. The kingdom of heaven is when we find that relationship with Jesus Christ, that the King of heaven Himself, that relationship that we were made for. The kingdom of heaven is also when we see God's miraculous supernatural power break through into and out through our lives, changing everything around us. That's the kingdom of heaven. But just like when you talk about treasure here in Rhode Island, you can't talk about treasure without talking about pirates. In the same way, you can't really talk about the kingdom of heaven without talking about some of the ways that we often try to shortcut our way into it. We try to shortcut our way to the blessings that God has for us. We try to shortcut our way into our purpose. We try to sometimes shortchange that relationship we have with Jesus, or we try to shortcut our way to that the miracles and the power that God can pour through us. We try and shortcut our way. We try to avoid the work but get all the treasure. That's what pirates do. That's what piracy is. Instead of going out and getting a job somewhere and slowly building up your life the way that everybody else does, investing the time and the effort so that you build up a business or you build up a character or you build up a family. Instead, you just look for the ship that's out there that has the biggest payoff and you go and you take it. It's a shortcut. So the question for us as we start this morning is this: what do you think? Are we truly seeking the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, with everything that we are? Or are we trying to pirate our way in? In the Bible, there are several stories about shortcuts. Some of them pretty well known. Shortcuts that people tried to take to try and pirate their way into what ends up being something that God wanted them to have anyway. But the shortcut ended up being anything but a quicker way to get there. One of the most familiar shortcut stories is found in Genesis 3, verse 1 through 6. Now, the background of this is that God had just created Adam and Eve, and he put them in this beautiful place, this beautiful garden. And they're surrounded with everything that they need. He had provided them with protection and given them food and everything that they needed. There was this one tree, however, that he told them, you can't eat from that tree. And that's where we pick up this story. And it says this, now the snake was more crafty than any of the other animals on the earth which the Lord God had made. And the snake came to the woman and said, indeed, has God said you can't eat from any of the trees of the garden? And the woman said to the snake, no, we can eat fruit from any of the trees of the garden. Well, except the fruit from the tree that stands in the center of the garden. Because God has said, you shall not eat from that tree. You shall not eat it. You shall not touch it, or else you're going to die. So the snake said to the woman, surely you won't die. But God knows that in the day that you eat of that tree, the fruit from that tree, your eyes are going to be opened and you're going to be like God, knowing good from evil. Well, the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was delightful for the eyes and that it was desirous to make one wise. She took its fruit and she ate it. And she also gave it to her husband who was with her and he ate it too. That was a shortcut. Did God want Adam and Eve to become wise like he was? Well, if we believe the message of books in the Bible like Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, the Gospel of John, 1 Corinthians, then absolutely he wanted them to be wise. He pours out his wisdom so we can know it. Did he want them to become like him? Well, if we believe messages in books like Ephesians or Romans or 2 Peter, then yes, absolutely. He wanted them to display his likeness in all of its fullness. Now we say, so what was wrong with what they did? They were just getting something that he wanted for them anyway, right? Well, not exactly. Because it ends up that taking these shortcuts, oftentimes it stunts our growth. It reverses our growth rather than accelerating it, rather than doing what we hoped it would do. So Adam and Eve, they actually end up with the exact opposite of what God wants for them. They end up with death instead of life. They end up with separation from God instead of closeness to him and likeness to him. They even end up with a division, a wall between them, themselves, instead of that unity that God had designed them for, had intended them for. They thought they were gaining ground. They had no idea how much they were losing. 1972, there was a psychologist named Walter Mischel. He was a professor who had taught at University of Colorado. He had taught at Harvard. He had taught at Stanford. And he conducted an experiment with 50 children, ages 3.5 to 5.5. Can you imagine that? 50 children, 3.5 to 5.5. Conducting an experiment. Now, I know that some of you have heard of this experiment, but an extremely simplistic version of it is, basically the child was told, when the adult leaves this room, you can, if you want to, immediately eat that marshmallow that's sitting on the table in front of you. But if you wait till the adult comes back into the room, you'll get 2 marshmallows. That was the experiment. Well, immediately, 6 of the children were eliminated because they couldn't even comprehend the instructions. I love that. Preschoolers. Okay, but with the rest, through studies that followed them for decades to come, what they found was this. In general, those who took that shortcut to immediate gratification and ate that marshmallow, they were not as successful for the rest of their lives. They weren't successful in school. They weren't successful in jobs, not in relationships, not in avoiding addiction, not in making healthy choices in their lives. On the other hand, those who delayed gratification for a greater gain, and in this case, two delicious marshmallows, if they delayed it, what they found was they were more successful in every area of their lives. Shortcuts. So when it comes to pirates and stealing treasure, whether they knew it or not, those pirates were setting themselves up, not just for an immediate experience, but for a terrible life. And whether we know it or not, when we try to spiritually shortcut our way into what God has for us, into His blessing, into that relationship that Jesus has opened up to us, when we try to shortcut our way into it, instead of going through that hard process of having our heart transformed, instead of going through that hard process of releasing that anger and getting rid of that bitterness and that jealousy and that bigotry or that hatred, if we shortcut instead of letting go of all of our agendas, instead of letting go of everything we own, all of our ideas and our, including that career path that we've so meticulously chosen for ourselves, for our success, and just putting that up on the altar too and saying, God, you can do with this whatever you want. If we try and shortcut instead of following God wherever He wants to lead, instead of doing whatever He tells us to do, we may think we're gaining. And even for a short moment, it may look like we're gaining. But like Adam and Eve, we have no idea how much we're losing. Over the next several weeks, we're going to be looking at a few different areas, a few places, areas, ways that we try to take shortcuts in our walk with Jesus. And they're places, honestly, that are of great promise from God. God promises all kinds of things in these places, but they're of great challenge to us because of some of the things that God has asked us to do to get there. This morning, I want to give you one of those places. I want us to look at one of those places and evaluate how we're doing. How am I doing in this, in pursuing the treasure that God has for me instead of some other diversion, instead of some shortcut? Am I doing the work? Am I taking the journey with Jesus? Or am I trying to shortcut my way to something? Something that, you guys, that God actually wants us to get hold of. He wants us to get there, but not that way. He's told us that if we'll walk the path that He intended to get to those places that He wants for us, that He's all in. He'll back us up. He'll give us everything we need in order to get there. If we'll walk with Him in it and go His way. The area that we're talking about this morning is wisdom. The wisdom of God, the truth of God, the understanding of this life from God's perspective. Proverbs 3 says that wisdom and understanding are better than gold or silver. They're better than the treasure that we seek in this world. So how do we get it? There are two times in Scripture where the Bible talks about building our lives up based on the wisdom and the understanding that God provides. And it uses this metaphor of building a house. One is in Matthew 7, the other is in 1 Corinthians 3. And in both of these times, it says that you got to be careful how you build because the house is going to get tested. It's going to be tested, and if it's not anchored on the right foundation, Matthew 7, or if it's not built with the right materials, 1 Corinthians 3, then it's going to be destroyed. And there will be a lot of effort that you put into it that will be wasted. And there will be this, instead of this gain that you thought that you were walking away with, there will be this great loss. The key in both of these passages, and this is what I want you to take away, the key in both of these passages is, are we willing to take the time, whether it's finding the right foundation or finding the right materials, are we willing to take the time to dig for it, to put in the effort to find it, and the process to discover it, and to take and to discover and find and anchor and then apply that wisdom that understanding of God to our lives and how we live. How many times do we try to find shortcuts to God's wisdom in our lives? Right? How many times do we not bother to put in the time and the effort to understand His wisdom, let alone anchor our lives to it, let alone build our lives up with it? But instead, what we look for, we try to find that person or that book or that blog or that podcast or that seminar somewhere or that workshop that we can go to. And what we're asking them, we're saying, can you just tell me what to do? Can you just tell me what to think? Can you just tell me what to believe? One time Paul, you know, here's this early Christian teacher, this founder of the church, you know, really one of the chief architects of the early Christian movement. And he was writing to some of the early followers of Jesus in this town called Berea. And he commended them because he said, you guys, when I come and teach, he said, you guys didn't believe me immediately. Paul, the guy who wrote most of the books of what we call the New Testament. And he says, I commend you because you didn't take it immediately and say, oh, okay, whatever you say. But instead, he says, you didn't believe me until you had studied it for yourself, listened to God and found out, yes, this is in alignment with what God has already said, what He has said in His Word. You did the work. Do you guys ever do that with these messages? How many of you go away from a message like this and you say, you know what, I'm going to take some time and wrestle with that one. I'm going to go to Scripture and I'm going to wrestle with that. I'm going to sit with some friends and we're going to bat that around and make sure that Van knows what he's talking about. Make sure that he's in alignment with what God's already said. We're going to also make sure that we want to find out if there's things to be discovered here that he didn't maybe bring out. And I can assure you that there's a lot to be discovered here in any topic that we cover, because I cannot possibly share with you even the things that God taught me in this half hour or so that we have with each other. So how many of you are taking that and you're wrestling with that and you're finding out, how much more can I dig out of this? And how many more ways can I apply this to my life? Are you doing the work? Are you digging for the bedrock? Matthew 7 or 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3 says the materials that we're looking for to build, they can be of one of two types. You can have gold, silver, and precious stones, or you can have wood, hay, and stubble. Now, we lived in central Kansas, and I've told you this before, but wood, hay, and stubble, that one set of stuff, it's lying in every ditch. Wood, hay, stubble, couches, washing machines, every ditch in central Kansas. Gold and silver and precious stones, those are only found if you dig for them. You got to dig. You got to search. You got to work for it. The other thing about those two sets of things is that wood, hay, and stubble, you know, again, you can find it everywhere. Well, also where you find those is every bonfire in central Kansas. Wood, hay, and stubble, along with the couches and the washing machines, right? But gold and silver and precious stones, you know what? Those outlast the fire. When the fire's done, those things are still there. Wood, hay, and stubble, burned up. So what are we building for? What are we building with? Are we digging for the treasure? So how do we dig for this? How do we dig for wisdom and understanding in our lives? That wisdom and understanding that God has given to us as a gift for our lives. I want to leave you with three simple ways that you can begin doing this in your own life. Begin doing this. They're simple. They're simple in terms of comprehension of them. They're challenging in terms of actually applying them, because they're going to take effort. They're going to take work. First one is this: get into God's Word regularly, daily, if you can. Get into God's Word. Read it, study it, wrestle with it, chew on it. The Bible has a word, meditate, and we think of, you know, Eastern meditation or, you know, going out to yoga and meditate. No, meditating in the Bible is not just kind of emptying your mind. It's the word literally means like rolling something over in your mouth. You're like speaking it to yourself. It says meditate, chew these things, let your mouth get used to speaking God's Word just as much as your mind is used to thinking it. Memorize it. Talk about it. Do whatever you can. And then listen to God, though. Listen while you're taking in His Word. Listen to what God has to say to you about His Word. You guys, that's going to take some time. That's going to take some effort. Second is this. Dig into your relationship with Jesus. Take some time, just spend time talking with Him, listening to Him. Spend some time asking for His guidance, for His wisdom about a decision that you have, and then listen for His answer. You know, learn to recognize what it feels like to have His presence with you. Learn to recognize what His voice sounds like and how to distinguish that from maybe all the other voices that you got going on in your head, including your own. Now, this is going to take some time. Again, it's going to take some work, because there are going to be times that you're going to feel like you're crazy sitting there waiting to hear the voice of and feel the touch of someone that honestly at times you're going, I can't see Him. I'm not sure I always believe in Him. But I want you to know this. If you believe that He is real, then you can know that He speaks. And when He speaks, you can know that you can hear Him if you'll just take time to listen. So dig into that, anchor into that relationship above any other relationship that you have. Invest in that one. And three, and this is where the rubber meets the road, do what He says. Work God's truth, God's wisdom, God's words to you, what you hear Him saying to you through His Word and through His voice, through His Spirit. Work those things into your life. So frame everything you say, everything you do around what you hear Him saying. Not what you hear others saying, not what you even hear others saying about what He says, but what He says to you, what He speaks. And in that, we have to trust. Trust that God knows more about how we should be living, more about what a good life looks like for us, more about what it means to be living better than we do, more than we know, more than what any snake knows, more than what anyone else knows, even those people that look like they have it all together, those who look like they're so wise. But instead, we choose to listen to God and do what He says. Anything else, God says, is a shortcut. And He tells us that doesn't ever end well. Let's not be spiritual pirates. Let's not try and shortcut our way into the kingdom. Instead, let's be those that Matthew 13:44 talks about when it says, who for the joy that was set before them, the joy that was before them because of this treasure that they found, they went and they sold everything that they had so that they could obtain that treasure. They could gain those abundant, those immense riches. They could gain that life with Jesus, the kingdom of heaven. Father, we want to thank You for the promises that You give us, the beauty You surround us with, the blessings that are poured out on our lives. God, Your Word says You target us with Your grace and with Your kindness and with Your goodness, and we see it every single day. So we thank You for that. Father, I pray that we would not be those who try to find the shortcuts, the ways to trim off, the easiest way, the way to not do the work but still get the treasure. Instead, that we would walk that road with You, walk that road with Your Son, Jesus. And through that, we would discover the abundance of life that You have available for us. You are an amazing Father. We thank You that we are covered with Your love. We are surrounded by Your protection, especially in these times, Father. We lift up all of these cares and concerns we have for You, we have for this life, and we just lift them up to You, and we know that You've taken them, You've heard our requests, You've heard our hearts. Father, help us single-mindedly fix our eyes on Jesus and walk after Him. Let us find this treasure, find this wisdom, hear Your voice, and follow after You. We pray this for your glory, Father. We pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. We pray this by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.